This is a production of Cornell University.
University Assembly, September 13th, 2011.
Okay, I call this meeting order, or this meeting order at 4:37. If there's, if you guys want to review the minutes, I don't know if you guys got a chance to, and then we need a motion to approve the minutes if there's no changes.
Second. I'm not. Okay. I have some amendments to the minutes.
Okay.
The first apologies in advance if I sound nitpicky. No offense to our wonderful note-taking clerk. I believe that the approval of the minutes, this is point two on page one, was moved by unanimous consent. So it should say something like, Evan Cortez asked if there was objection to the approval of the minutes. There was no objection. The minutes were approved unanimously. Doesn't look like anybody's objecting to that change. The next thing that I had is that this is page four, subpoint D. I'm not sure how best to articulate this. I'd have to go back and listen to the audio recording. Maybe Ari remembers better. After we did nominations for the first committee, Ari had asked if we would consider voting by ranked ballot. So I asked if there was support for that. There wasn't. The motion was defeated. So that should be noted in the minutes. I can't give you actual text. So I would be happy to listen to the recording and type up that text and get that to you. The final amendment that I would have is, again, on page four, further down that page. It says, by unanimous opinion, it was decided. Again, this should read something more like, Evan asked unanimous consent that the members select chairs of the three standing committees from those three staff members by a method be determined. Since unanimous consent was granted, that meant that there was another motion that we caucus. We decided to do that, and we selected our chairs of caucus. Again, I'd be happy to listen to the audio and revise that paragraph. That reflects everyone's, like I said, sorry to be nitpicky, but I think it's, there were particular emotions. Is that all right? I'm happy to submit that text. Great, thank you.
Okay, with the changes that Evan just indicated, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Oh, bring them next week and then approve? Okay. Next item on the agenda, is there any late additions to the agenda?
Just a quick update from my end.
So it'll just be D under new business?
Yeah.
Just mention
possibility
of presence Gordon.
Okay.
So under E.
Just point of clarification, you mean that we should invite President Gordon sort of to speak with us, or that the possibility already exists?
Well, last year he requested that we talk
about it. And then one last, I'm not sure if it's on the agenda, but just talking about staffing for the committees.
Yeah, that's on here. It's just not clearly indicated
for
here.
A, yeah. I believe.
For
So we'll move on to committee updates. The executive committee met last week and discussed a variety of things. The first thing is the UA vacancies. Right now there's two faculty vacancies and two staff vacancies. Is there an update? Have we heard back from any of them? I know that I haven't heard back from the employee assembly, but I contacted them late.
We're working on the faculty.
Okay.
Late addition to the agenda?
No, not yet. No, we've moved on. Is there?
Yeah, I do have one.
Okay. Okay.
The university policy office asked yesterday.
Okay.
If the UA would be interested to appoint a representative to the policy advisory group that reviews all of the draft policies that go through that process. The discussion item or to appoint somebody to serve that role on behalf of the UA.
Okay. I'll put that under ask for our new business then. Thank you. And then another thing that was discussed with the executive committee is the standing committee vacancies. Did you
turn up to the right?
Okay. So, and then during our meeting, the vice chair of operations decided, along with the executive committee, decided to appoint Marilyn Miguel as the faculty member of the CJC. And this is subject to the UA's approval of the bylaws exception, which is the resolution, yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I didn't catch what Sean said about standing committee vacancy.
I'm sending an email to the different to Mark and different people, letting them know which vacancies they need to fill.
From the GPSA side, we're busy harassing people.
Yeah.
Good. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. So I guess to use just a point of information that we're going to be talking about the resolution later on to whether the UA wants to approve the exception to the bylaws in order to approve Marilyn as the faculty member for the CJC. The next thing is the committee notice timelines. What the executive committee had discussed was the committee should inform the UA exec of pending resolutions at least 1 week prior to the next UA meeting, so they can put it on the agenda and post it in the Cornell Chronicle. This year, the Cornell Chronicle is sending out information about what the university assembly, student assembly, and all the assemblies at Cornell are doing 1 week prior. Although preferred, the UA exec doesn't need final resolution working at that time, but we do need to know what the resolution is, so that's just point of information for when the committees get started. The next point was the policy office, which is now moved to F, or is now covered in F of new business on the student on the policy committee. And then
I can elaborate a little bit more on that.
Okay. Do you want to wait until it's on their new business? Or do you want to talk about it now? Okay. And then the other thing was, the last thing under the executive committee was just committee engagement. We had discussed that the welfare committee would review policy changes based on what we heard back from the policy office. And then the infrastructure committee would review transportation changes and fees if there's any issues. And then also a request for CJC to review the Title IX part. So, yeah.
Can you elaborate on what you mean by policy changes? So, like,
We had sent out an email to Joshua Adams of the policy office asking what the policy changes are. So I think Kari's going to cover the response that we got on that a little bit. So.
Since Ramsey's asked the question, if I may, the parking fee structure, that's not a policy change, so that's just
no.
Transportation, that's parking fee change.
Mm-hmm.
I Okay. So that's separate from the inquiry with the policy office?
Yeah.
Okay.
From what I understand. So I guess we'll move on to new business now. The first thing on new business is the resolution bylaws exception for faculty senate appointment of the CJC committee for Maryland. We got Ari was gonna get together a resolution to do.
I'm sorry, what is CJC?
The campus judicial codes.
Oh,
codes of judicial committee. Yeah, that's it. Did you have
something? Yeah, sorry. I was going to do just like a motion that I could throw up on the board, but some people reach issues. Anyhow, the thing is that the UA bylaws require that one of the two faculty representatives on each of the standing committees be from the faculty senate. And the faculty's office heroically tried to recruit members from the faculty senate for that group. And in fact, one of them was intending to serve on the faculty senate, but at the last minute, someone else from her department became the faculty senate representative. So there are no other volunteers coming forward from the faculty to serve on the committee. I don't think this speaks for the UA executive committee, but there was unanimous agreement that in the executive committee that requirement that the second faculty representative be from the faculty senate should be waived in this instance to allow this person to serve. And that it be brought to the UA for a motion.
Evan?
I move that the UA grant an exception to its bylaws to allow Marilyn Miguel to serve on the CJC, even though she is not a voting member of the faculty senate.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? If not, then move to a vote. Do placards vote. All those in favor, please raise your placard. All those opposed? Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Thank you. All those opposed? I mean, any abstentions? Any abstentions? Sorry.
My vote
yes.
Yes.
I'll vote for it.
All right. In a vote of 12-0, the motion passes.
Just having 11 people with orange placards with their names on them. 11.
Okay, 11. 11 to 0-0.
Could I just suggest that you do this not just for this time, but you make it permanent? I think having a requirement that the person in the Senate is a real constraint. To get the senators to also do this, I think it would be a difficult task.
If I can try and speak, if I may, I'm sure Dean Fry is getting sick of me doing that. But to try and explain what the thought process was in putting that requirement in there, last year and in the years before, the university assembly's committees traditionally operated, I was going to say at arm's length, more like at several arm's length from the university assembly itself. There was virtually no membership overlap. There was virtually no communication. This meant that on more than one occasion, our own committees offered resolutions that were contradictory to the position that this own body held. The University Assembly, the UA, last year voted in favor of, I will grant you, a fairly strict requirement that the committee consists of, as you know, three UA members themselves, plus eight other people, two from each constituency, and four of those had to be voting members. that goes for all four constituencies. The idea here, again, was that these be the real valuable committees whose voice matters on issues like infrastructure, welfare, and the campus code of conduct, that they not be acting alone and representing the opinion of just those those 11 individuals, but that they be in communication with their individual assemblies and that they be in communication with us. And I can speak from a GPSA perspective. If we were able to simply appoint any two graduate students, then unless we make an explicit effort, which would satisfy the goal, I think, to make sure that those people are attending meetings, and we can't require them to because they're not members, and are reporting to us, and again, we can't require them to do that because they're not members, then we sacrifice that communication. So that's my position.
I'll argue that communication is meaningless in the absence of the body, and the fact that the same person may not want to serve on so many committees will reduce the number of bodies. I think go with that.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with what Evan said, though, in terms of making sure that we have some overlap, making sure that you have, participation across more than one assembly. So that way you get more of, a fluid, organization, government structure.
I suppose I would say that this is similar to the issue of having presiding members be a member of this body ex officio. The goal is to foster communication. Of course, that same communication can be achieved by having a liaison who reports back to the presiding officer and who is engaged with their respective assembly. It serves ultimately the same purpose. I suppose what I would argue for is that we keep the bylaws as is, and that we grant exceptions on an ad hoc basis while trying our best to make sure that that person will continue to be engaged with the body that they represent, as I believe Professor Miguel has said she will be.
Well, obviously, from a realist perspective, we're not always going to get people from every different constituency. So would it be beneficial to put in the bylaws an exception, just a general exception, stating that when there is no interest is the wrong word, but I'll use it for the moment. Just if there's no volunteer, that we have a process of taking someone from another constituency.
We do have something in the bylaws where the vice chair of operations can appoint in a vacancy. So I think that kind of covers if nobody's filling that position, the vice chair.
And on this issue specifically, I would say that we do have a process when issues like this involve and we do not happen. Simple motion, approval.
I would also, our office would be happy to help any member draft a specific proposal to change to create that kind of process to be discussed in the future.
Can I ask whose responsibility it is to identify the nominees?
Within the faculty senate, for instance, or the GPSA? I'm not sure for the faculty senate. For the GPSA, we have a vice president for operations. That's the same for the SA.
So it's a constituent body that's supposed to do it?
Yes.
It's going to be I just don't think it's going to happen for the senate.
I to speak from a GPSA perspective, if I may. We staff nearly 40 committees, including some of our own. It's a struggle. We always have vacancies. I don't know. We're working on that front. We're meeting with the dean of the grad school to talk about how to get graduate students more interested in committee work. But I guess I would rather that the position exists and that they can, and that the position seeks to exist. So that should an interested party come along, there is a spot.
And I think the fact that the position exists may encourage people to that are on the faculty senate to join the committee.
And I think it's really up to the UA here to show that we're serious about this. Our track record, quite frankly, is not good on committees. Again, I told you about last year. I think we have a real opportunity here to say, look, we're serious about this. These are real, bona fide committees that the administration takes seriously, that have voice in the development of university policy. These are committees that you want to serve on because your voice will be heard. That's up to us to prove that. And I hope that if we do that this year, that people will say, I do want to serve. My time is valuable, but I think this is a good use of it. Maybe I'm something of an optimist.
There's no... Mm-hmm. No. There's no discussion on that. We'll move to the next item. Originally, we have two meetings a month, every other week. In the executive committee meeting, we discussed having the second meeting being as needed because it seems like historically the UA has only had one meeting a month and it's worked out so that the second meeting is only called if needed. So I don't know if we need a motion.
I have a question. I thought that was the current step. I thought usually it's like the UA the list, doesn't it say like as needed for half a minute?
I think it said that last year. I don't think it said that this year.
Yeah.
I suppose that I would say that this is the executive committee's discretion. You are charged with setting the agenda. Mm-hmm. If you choose to set no agenda, there will be no meeting. I don't think that's
okay.
A motion.
Okay.
It would be nice to know whether there is a meeting or not. Yeah, and I took a schedule off the web, and I pasted it in my calendar. But, did that schedule hold, or does it not? There is a schedule of meetings on the web.
It was our understanding that the assembly would meet every other week,
mm-hmm.
but the discussion that came out of the executive committee was that the second meeting of each month
would be called if needed. Yeah. So that's how it'll be from now on in the calendar on the website. Would you be able to update that to indicate that?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it possible maybe this addresses how we concern that if the executive commit to a minimum amount of notice or something about,
okay.
You know, could we have, is 1 week reasonable?
Yeah.
Could we know at least a week in advance? So we assume no meeting. If we hear at least a week in advance that there will be a meeting, then there will be a meeting.
Okay.
I think it's most likely that 2 weeks in advance, because if we're discussing something and there isn't, we just need a little more to come to fruition than 2 weeks. That the district board is a week. You could all agree.
Okay.
I think that the 1 week would be a sort of a minimum.
Yeah.
Right now.
Okay.
More than 1 week.
So we'll leave that with trying to notify 2 weeks in advance with a minimum of 1 week in advance for the second meeting of the month. The first meeting will always be held. Moving on to the next one, next item, committee.
Wait, so I just have this question regarding that. So is this not really a debate? This is more of just like the discretion of the executive.
I think that's what was just decided, is that it would be the discretion of the executive. Because that's part of the executive committee's duties.
I can say that I was speaking as a member of this body. That's my understanding of how the bylaws read. If someone disagrees with that, then great. Then let's have a debate.
I just have a personal preference, and that, you know, I always feel that, you know, if we schedule the meetings, like, more meetings the better. This is our year to decide how active the UA is going to be. We're setting the standard for the future.
So
So I feel that, you know, having the meeting twice a month is very reasonable. And, you know, if there ends up, if we don't end up having a significant agenda, we can always adjourn early. I don't see why. I just feel that if we go off once a month and then adding it an as-needed basis, then we're going to revert back to the old, system where we just try to conclude everything by 6 o'clock once a month. And I frankly feel that once a month is not suffice.
I agree with Randy's comment.
So do you want to have a motion then and vote and see what the...
Well, I think, again, I'm just speaking as Evan, a guy sitting on this side of the table, a member of this body, not as the parliamentarian, not as a member of the executive, not as arbiter of the bylaws, but I think that these two positions, what I articulated my understanding of the bylaws to be, and what Ramsey is saying, are not mutually exclusive. The executive committee has the ability to set the agenda, and that includes the ability to not have a meeting. Ramsey is saying, but I think you should still have a meeting.
Yeah, as a person.
Yeah, sorry.
I think that I would put my trust in the executive committee. If they really don't think there's enough business, then I don't want to just come here for the pro forma. So I think that what you enunciated before is correct. Maybe the executive committee should decide when they need a meeting.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with
Allie.
I don't think that this would limit anything we do. I think if there's things that need to be done, then we'll have a meeting and we'll discuss them. If there's not, we won't show up. I don't see why we wouldn't go with this. It just made a lot more sense.
Just to make mm-hmm. it, I mean, if something came up and a member here said, gee, I really think we ought to talk about that, then they should go to the executive committee and say, look, we got a serious
issue.
And then we'll have the meeting.
Is it possible maybe that we could combine and address Ramsey's concern that there be some sort of a call for agenda item that would precede the decision about whether or not we have a meeting? A call that would go up to the members of this body, not to the whole community or anything, but just to the members of this body.
I would agree with that. Having, so if we're trying to notify at least a week in advance to have a call for agenda items almost a week and a half in advance, and if it's not, by.
Speaking personally, I think you don't really need much more than 24 hours for, you know, if you were to send out an email by Monday at 4:30 saying we need to know by Tuesday at 4:30 whether there's something for the agenda, and then that would give you that week before the next Tuesday to say whether or not you're having something.
Okay.
So that's 8 days for the call for agenda items, 7 days notice as to whether or not.
Okay.
Yes, Ned.
But as I like the discussion. I know everybody's busy. I know I'm busy. Is that for my own schedule, I'm going to schedule it as it stands right now, because creating a void and then starting and trying to recapture it may not happen. Not that I'm an important person, but that's, I'm sure other people have the same situation where it's down for the, that's how I am, just put that out there. I'd rather have a schedule set, and if we decide to not meet, that's cool.
That's cool. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I heard, I think before, I'm not sure who said it, but the statement that folks should assume the second meeting of the month is not going to happen unless they hear otherwise, I think that was meant to be interpreted as they should hold it open in case there is a meeting.
But you see my theory, for me, I kind of expect it to be, and then if it gets canceled, okay, that's it. But that's just my problem.
I certainly respect your decision as the executive board. I'm just voicing, I guess, my opinion as fancy and high.
And this discussion happens in the executive committee, whether or not to voice it as, you know, something that's getting like dropped or picked up. And I think it really comes down to, you know, half dozen or one. But yeah, I agree. Like keep it open in our schedules and prepare to meet.
I always like finding out that I have an additional 1 hour and a half that I didn't plan to have.
Right.
So it sounds like we are going to leave the meeting on the agenda, but have it as needed and indicated so. And then there will be a call for agenda items Monday, the week prior to the meeting, and if there are no agenda items, then the meeting will be canceled.
Yeah. Free food is nice, but we don't all need to hang out just to say
yeah.
We don't have anything to talk about.
Okay.
So that works for the organizational meeting.
If you guys are canceled,
so moving on to committee issues, reports, and resolutions. I know the committees haven't even been filled or met yet, but I was wondering if from the chairs and people on the university assembly that are on the meeting, the committees, if there's been any discussions or...
Yeah, so yeah. I guess we might have addressed this earlier, but I just was a little bit unsure. Like, what's going to happen in terms of the staffing? Because I know that staffing is through the other assembly, as well as you guys. Randy, I think your email got read. I just saw it recently in terms of you had recommendations for staffing the welfare. So would I give that to the executive, to you guys?
To the vice chair of operations.
I'll give that to you.
Okay.
Sorry, I want to make sure I understand. The recommendations from Randy are... faculty members that would be interested in serving on the...
No, the actually the two employees that would want that for our human resources.
So I'm a little curious. Wouldn't the employee assembly...
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
You can pass the names on to Sean, certainly, but the employee assembly officially appoints those people. They would have to ratify that appointment. I very much agree with Randy's two suggestions. I think both of them would be wonderful and excellent.
And I think there is, if the employee assembly doesn't appoint people, there is something in the bylaws which says that I can appoint people to fill this up. So eventually that could come about.
I think if you were to go to the employee assembly and say, here are two people who are ready and willing to serve on this committee, the chances that the employee assembly is going to say, no, rather our seats that are not very high. Certainly, speaking from the GPSA perspective, if anybody, please come see me and tell me you want to serve on a committee, I would not be turned away.
What committee
is
that?
Now. Welcome.
Okay, thank you.
In terms of the makeup of the committee, is there supposed to be like a certain amount of people from each constituency in terms of there being students?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's supposed to be two undergraduate students, two graduate students, two faculty members, two employees, and then the three members of the university assembly, and one of each of those members from the constituencies is supposed to be a voting member.
Okay. Now, I know, you might have that problem with the grad students, but I know for the student assembly, it's going to be the exact opposite. In fact, they're going to turn people away. And so I'm assuming, would that go to John Rao?
John Rao is in charge of staffing the committees.
Okay, so...
I have not spoken to him. I'm assuming that he's going to... Do you know how the...
I haven't checked it yesterday, but there were still...
And he's like Marquise, which was our equivalent to John Rao, in the assembly staffing system.
Yeah.
He knows he has to staff them. Hopefully he's read the UA bylaws. It's part of his job.
So I think somebody should talk to him, though, and like maybe send out an email that goes to all the undergraduates and says...
All the undergraduates.
What?
Right.
That goes out to the undergraduates that says this position is available.
That would be something John Rao would be in charge of, so I'll talk to him.
But I'm just saying we should make sure that happens, because if not, he'll just pull two people, an appointment from the UA, from the SA.
Well, he does have to pick one from the SA, but the other has to be not an SA member. Because the GPSA is the only assembly that makes a distinction between voting and non-voting members. All the other assemblies just have members. So he has to, one of those two has to be someone not a member of the SA. Or again, we'd be in a situation where we're making a motion to have an exception to the bylaw. People, the way that this works on the GPSA side is people log into assembly.cornell.edu/staffing. They get a list of all the committees they can apply for. Three of them are University Assembly-Campus Welfare Committee. There's a button that says Request, and all undergraduates can see that when they log into that website, and they can say, I want to be on that committee, and here's why. And they fill out a standard form. And John Rao and the members of the people who do that on our end is called the Operations and Staffing Committee, see all those applications, and then vote to decide who will represent the GPSA.
Sorry, this is not on the agenda, but come back to the problem of faculty members on committees and also on the committee. Dean Fry has not been very aggressive in twisting arms to get faculty, I think. And it, perhaps we could help him in the following way. But in every Senate meeting, there is 10 minutes reserved for good and welfare. And any faculty member could speak there. And it would be great if we could get, say, Evan, for example, who is more passionate about this, to speak. But I think we should make an appeal to the Senate membership saying, we have a problem in staffing at the University Assembly, explain what it is. You know, we could take 5 minutes to just get a blank.
If I may ask a point of clarification, you said, first, any faculty member may speak, and then you said, we'd like Evan to speak.
Right.
I'm not a member of the faculty.
I understand that. I think I was reading
the faculty senate list, and it basically said that non-faculty members, I mean, people can attend, but they can't speak at the meeting.
Well, I think we could ask permission.
Faculty
I think we could make an arrangement. I'll find out about it.
If you would be willing to take the lead on asking if that would be possible, I would be happy to stand in front of the faculty senate and you know, sing my song that I'm taking, as you can see, on tour.
Well, there is a Senate meeting.
Breakfast, UA meeting, GPSA listserv.
There is a Senate meeting tomorrow. And if you want, I will check with the dean and speaker of the Senate and see if that's okay to do that.
Well, as I jokingly mentioned, I'm not sure I've endeared myself to the dean by continually suggesting that both he attend these meetings and that faculty attend these meetings and that they sit on committees.
Not to worry, but I really think it's from a non-faculty member saying that this is an important
thing. I would be happy to do that.
Would be good.
Is there any, there's no objection?
Okay. Send me an email and just to remind me, and I'll get at it. We'll try it tomorrow. Are you free tomorrow at around 6?
Yes.
Okay.
What was I going to say about that? We all know this, and this is the committee issue. It's also the presiding officer issue. There's a chicken and egg problem here. The UA, like I say, no offense to anybody in this room, has a checkered past on these sorts of things. I think we as an assembly, and this gets to Ramsey's point, can be more active and speak with a louder voice. We do have authority. We have authority in ways that other assemblies do not, like on university policy. We need to demonstrate as best as we can, not just the executive, but everyone in this room, that we're serious about this UA business, that we do real work, that it's important, and we have to sort of, and this is exactly what I would say to the faculty senate, you have to try and convince people we're serious this time. And then when we get them to show up, we really need to show our professionalism, our ability to get things done, ability to say, we promised we wouldn't waste your time, and see, look, we're not. We're doing serious work here. It's difficult because we're, you know, trying to convince people who have the old UA in their mind, the old charter.
Just want to say, like, I agree with everything that you said. I just had a follow-up question. Since, like, we're still waiting to get fully staffed, would it be okay if we could start scheduling meetings, or if we could talk with, like, the current members within the committee?
The executive committee had discussed wanting to try and have all the committees meet before the 27th, even though, because that's when our second meeting was scheduled, so we were hoping that would happen. I'm not sure how exactly staffing's going, but I think that's a great idea to go ahead and start.
I could offer a suggestion on that. Since we have a vice chair of operations this year who's responsible for coordinating committees among other things, it might be a good point person for deciding when committees are staffed well enough to go ahead with that scheduling meetings. Because you don't want to schedule meetings too soon and then have a bunch of new members who feel like they're being excluded because the meeting times were set at a time they can't do. And if just Sean is like the point person for that, you can get a quick turnaround.
Right. Yeah, so if you only know me, I'll let you know how many people are staffed and what the likelihood of us getting certain positions staffed.
So just send you a quick email and say, hey, do we have a green light?
Yeah.
What might help on the GPSA side to solve this problem that you're talking about, GPSA is, of course, as I've already said, the link, but we don't have our list yet. We're working on it, but we don't have it yet. What could help, oftentimes people ask me, well, what am I signing up for? You know, not so much what does this committee do, it says that in our bylaws, but how often do they meet? You know, what kind of a commitment am I looking at? Even if and maybe Sean is a good point person for this, you know, the committee meets monthly for an hour, or it meets every week for 3 hours, or whatever, so that people know what they're signing up for. I mean, again, we have, this is a difficult process. We staff almost 40 committees. We don't have very good communication with a lot of them. I don't even know who to email. And when I do email, I don't get responses, you know, about when these committees meet, or what they expect from our members, or how we're supposed to get them a member. So, again, UA can be in a leadership position here to say, here's what our committees do, here's how frequently we meet. We'll establish a meeting time that works for everybody once we're fully staffed. Yes.
So maybe I can meet with the two of you afterwards and talk about how often I meet.
Okay. Any other committee issues, reports, or anything?
I think those are my concerns, okay. In terms of staffing and then scheduling the meetings, because, I don't know, I'm just a little bit impatient.
All right, so we'll move on to an update from you, Ramsey.
Yes, I just want to let you guys know that I'm finally set up a meeting with the Cornell Bookstore, scheduled for this Thursday. You guys are more than welcome to attend. I don't recall the time at the moment, but I remember it was sometime in the afternoon. I think his name is Gary Swisher, if I remember correctly. So, so if you guys are interested in coming with me and learning more about how it functions, how the overall process looks like, email me or you can talk to me after.
Okay, thank you. And then, Randy, you wanted to talk about having Scorin come in and talk?
Last year, President Scorin came to the UA meeting and said he would like to discuss in an open forum or some kind of forum how Day Hall makes decisions. And I mentioned when he said that to me it seemed like it was opaque and secretive, and he thought otherwise, but I would like to give him the opportunity to set me straight. And so I'd like to either invite him here to continue that discussion and see what kind of venue he's looking for to discuss the decision-making process. And so I guess
so I, and oh sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
In terms of, so you're thinking of, do you want President Scorin to come in, and then what kind of like questions are you hoping to get answered?
Yeah, you understand the decision-making process that went into the Cornell Council for the Arts and the change in the data department, changing the biology curriculum, the Africana College, etc.?
No.
We can find out.
Yeah, I think if I, now that I'm looking at the scoring issue, if I can make another point on that, this is something that I have said to administrators when I get a chance to. Not that so much that they need to run every decision by the students or the faculty and the employees, but that the assemblies provide a great opportunity for them to reach out and get, quite frankly, community buy-in. Say, you know, look, we went to your elected leaders. We talked this over with them. And even if, I say this sort of thing frequently, this is part B of my song, that even if the outcome of that process is something that we're not in favor of, at least we can say we knew what was going on. We knew what happened. We had a chance to express our objections. They were heard. They may have been overruled, but they were heard. So this goes beyond Day Hall, beyond President Scorton. I think this is a way of, I'm making the same point over again, we can show to the administration that we're serious, and they will come for us. Because, quite frankly, we can just make their jobs easier. Less work for them. Instead of having to set up their own meetings and set up their own committees and call in people and book the memorial room, we can say, we'll do that for you. We'll run a forum on this issue. We'll staff a committee on that issue, or we'll give it to one of our existing committees. And this comes, again, I'm coming full circle here. That means that the work that this assembly does and the work that the people on those committees do is all the more important for people who, again, will be even more interested in being on.
Yep.
The practical problem here is, do we invite President Scorton to this assembly to discuss this? And Randy, you said you have entree, right? You
yes.
have discussed this before.
He came to us and suggested this until I said what I said, and then that would be in the conversation.
So it sounds to me like if we want to do this, we should send him an invitation to attend one of our meetings.
Okay.
And that could be a simple, you know, dear President Scorton, you may recall we talked about university decision making, and we would like to give you an opportunity to tell us about it. Would you have time to do that? Something like that.
Yeah.
Back in June, that
some person
talked about it on the calendars on
8th.
Find ways to hear back about
the
date that he'll attend.
Oh, then he will attend. Okay.
Did that.
So, I see. So maybe we don't have to do anything. Just wait for the decision to apply.
I think
it
might
still. Forum, that would be a different question. But getting them here, it's already been requested.
I think shooting an email also to just inform me as to specifically why we are looking for him to come might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Are you at something?
I don't know what would be a good time to report on what. The executive board
asked
me to select.
Oh yeah, that's next on the agenda. I added it under new because whenever there's call for late addition. So, okay. So for as far as the scoring thing, I'll shoot him an email, just informing us to what we had discussed and that we're looking for him to specifically talk about this issue, and then. University decision making.
The buzzword that seems to come around is transparency.
Transparency in university.
There's an editorial.
Yeah.
No, I do want to note one thing from just, I think Randy only sent it to the executive committee, but it might be good to send that to the whole UA members list. One thing that was mentioned specifically in the minutes, and there may be more on the audio, but captured in the minutes was the desire for UA, which has been expressed in other assemblies, to have an easier way of communicating with the larger constituencies about what it's working on. And one of the things that came up at that meeting where Tommy Bruce was present was having some sort of channels that pushed that information out. And I just want to note that the Chronicle column for the assembly was intended specifically to respond to that request. So that was another dimension of it, not just about this forum communicating with this assembly, but this assembly being able to communicate with constituents.
It would be, if I may, I know we've talked about this already. It would be great. I know they're limited for space in the print edition. It would be great if in the online edition we might have a little more room. I believe you said 200 words total, roughly, which is 50 words per assembly. I wrote as tersely as I possibly could for the GPSA, and we only meet every 2 weeks. As tersely as I could, and I came out to 120 words. That was basically one sentence on what we did last week and a sentence and a half on what we're doing next week. So if this is to be, I think it's a wonderful step in the right direction. It's great. But if we're going to do things like communicate back to our constituents saying, the university is working on this issue or that issue, we want your input, talk to this, we're going to need more than 50 words, 25, and half enough to devote it to what we did last week.
If I remember correctly, during the orientation, I remember you already mentioned that you were going to introduce us to something new in terms of communicating with...
You just had to bring that up.
well, I was really
excited. I'm working on it today. It's not right yet.
Oh, it's not right. Okay.
But, I'm looking forward to being able to present that as soon as I can make it work.
I was really excited about that when you told us.
This is providing an online, basically as part of the system that we use for committee staffing, making it possible for you to have the motions that you've entered into the system immediately become available for media to pick up and work with, and for people in the Cornell Chronicle and press office to push off at the appropriate times, for instance, like the student assembly's recent resolution on the New York City campus. Associated Press now.
I've been thinking about it since last year, and then when he brought it up, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Really, the big impediment to that right now is we're dealing with our office is also responsible for the student funding boards, and that's kind of been consuming our technical resources. But in about a month, I think.
Let's come back to Evan's business about getting more than 50 words in the Chronicle. Would it help if we had a resolution or that we could send to
Tommy Bruce
to say we've discussed this as a committee and we really feel that we need at least 200 words for the University Assembly in the online edition.
I don't think there will be any resistance to having the online part be longer. I mean, right now it's experimental to.
Are you suggesting we just submit 200 words and see what happens?
Well, I think.
I'm a coordinator for it for the moment, so I don't anticipate an issue with that. If there are 200 words to say about what the UA has done in a week, I think we can put that online.
Good. Fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess we'll move on to what you got from the policy office.
Executive board asked me to contact three offices to get some initial action items from the policy channels that the new charter provides for the UA. One of those is the University Policy Office, which is responsible for coordinating any policy that is formulated through the university's policy on the formulation of policy. The director of that office is Joshua Adams. So I contacted him, and he responded to me mostly by phone. so all of the responses I got were kind of informal, so I'm still trying to figure out the best way to turn them into a memo that you can actually review. And they all came in the last 24 hours, so I'm sorry I don't have something written to present. But basically what he said, and it was kind of interesting, is the university's formal policy-making process is often treated more as a guideline of best practices than what is actually done. And the effect of that is he often doesn't know what policy various university administrators are working on, often until a late stage. So he didn't really have a list of big policies that were being worked on. And in fact, some of the policies that I brought up with him, like the reworking of the bias response policy, which the manager, Phil Williams, approached the UA about last semester, he didn't know about yet. So his recommendation was that the UA reach out directly to vice presidents in areas that it's interested in to get working items. We haven't done that yet because that recommendation came in late on Friday. So, but I'm planning to follow up with the executive board about how to go about reaching out to those folks. He did have one substantive recommendation to do immediately, which is he said he would be happy to have a university assembly representative on the policy advisory group, which is the committee of mostly, I think, senior administrators that are alerted anytime there's a draft policy under consideration and given an opportunity to comment on it. That would be a nice systematic way to loop UA into policies that his office is involved with, talking about a few emails and one meeting a month. Now, one thought I had about this is perhaps this should be an assigned responsibility of the executive vice chair as part of the agenda setting for the university assembly, or perhaps it should be something that volunteer from the UA is selected to do, but so that's an action item that can be discussed today.
The executive vice chair is in the room, so I'm in favor of
appointing. Jim.
I think that's a good recommendation.
Okay. Do we actually want to have an official motion?
Well,
or is this done?
Okay. Maybe perhaps a broader discussion about, a broader discussion of whether that's where we want to go, making that, I mean, the final outcome of such a thing would be a change to the bylaw, saying this is part of your job. Maybe we want to try it on experimental basis first, but maybe there's somebody else in the room.
I'm interested.
So, I mean, maybe I don't want to speak out of turn. We could treat it as similar to how we did nominations 2 weeks ago. Ask for nominations. Grant can nominate themselves. There are other nominations. We can vote on it. I was joking. I don't get the sense that Jim is especially eager to take on additional commitments.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the opportunity, but in terms of like, I guess other UAs, like when we do this next year and stuff, I think it may be easier, like, will facilitate, I guess, transition if it was actually a responsibility that they pointed to a position.
Yeah,
I'd like to see that too. I think I agree with that. I think it should be become a permanent job of somebody on the executive committee. Look, folks, this is really important. I mean, they slip policies by us,
right?
And it gets in the book, and it's like law. And
it's very hard to find out about them, but this is putting somebody in a very high level position. You're going to be sitting there with vice presidents, and they don't waste their time. So this is really important. But I do think it should be right at the executive level, executive committee level.
I would be willing to do it, considering Jim isn't here and doesn't. I don't know if he would be willing to take on an extra responsibility.
I don't know.
Sorry, I'm just putting that out there. So I don't know if we do. You want to? How do you want to handle this? Do we want to first vote if it should be somebody on the executive committee, or should we do nominations?
I will just say one thing, that I got a sense that they wanted it to be the same person and not change once it was decided for the year. If there isn't enough consensus to make a decision about who it is today, there probably shouldn't be an interim appointment. There should be a process to get to who that person is going to be for the year.
Maybe we've got some absences today.
Right.
Maybe the best approach is to put this on the agenda first.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best.
Would it be right to maybe...
I'm not sure I understand.
Sorry, yes.
Would it be right to maybe go and put, like, create an amendment to the charter, like putting it in there, a process on how we're going to actually do this and make this an official position, either depending on, obviously, whether we make this an executive board position's job or make it someone else's job?
Yeah, so we would need to draft up a change to the bylaws, I think, if we decide to make it...
In the bylaws, we can, we as a group can change the bylaws.
Okay.
It's the charter, but that's
okay.
So let's just put in the bylaws. And a way to approach it would be to put a motion in the bylaws that the member of the executive committee shall serve on the, or if you want to say the president, the chairperson will serve on that committee. So let's just get that on the agenda for next week.
Okay, yeah.
Certainly easier to make something concrete. I think the bylaws are majority and previous notice.
Right.
That sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that would mean we could offer an amendment next week and then vote on it the time after that.
That would include...
Wouldn't preclude that person starting to serve.
Right. That's one.
Okay, yeah. Again, those points are well taken. This is more about posterity, transition for the future.
Okay. That's the last item on the agenda, so...
So there were two other people that asked to contact you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
One is Joe Lally, who is responsible for transportation. One of the less fun jobs at he said, so apparently the rules and regulations for traffic have traditionally been rewritten in their less busy season over the summer, each summer, which is why the changes get presented to the UA is a done deal. And they did do that this summer, but now that he's aware of the charter changes, he said, moving forward, this will be the last time they do it that way, and from now on, UA will be consulted 30 days in advance as the charter requires. He said that he does have a few issues, particularly around accessible parking and parking privileges for retirees. Both of these issues are things that you would have in the past brought up with the Transportation Advisory Committee, which would now be the Campus Infrastructure Committee. So those are action items that should be referred. You want me to move on to
If I could ask a quick point of clarification. If it's 30 days in advance, but it would happen over the summer, that means that this is going to be something that's
reviewed and decided by the executive board?
That is what it would mean,
okay.
If it was done that way. The logistics of that might be something to discuss in the campus infrastructure committee.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that you know, there really won't be an infrastructure committee over the summer. I'm at the UA itself. It's an improvement.
From Mary Justman, the judicial administrator, Gorge Safety, she would like to see the code prohibit community members from swimming in the gorges more explicitly. I'm just quoting from her email here. The code should prohibit community members from restricting movement or egress of others, like kidnapping or imprisonment, but that language is legalistic. I think that might be related to hazing issues.
Yeah, it's not related to Gorge.
Sorry, that's a different bullet point from Gorge. Third bullet point, there will need to be changes to the code regarding Title IX issues. CJC has recommended that Title IX types of cases be removed from the code and resolved through Policy 6.4, which is the policy on sexual harassment. And I think actually all forms of harassment. Or something similar. A Title IX coordinating team is working on identifying the best way to move forward and will ask the UA for help if needed. Fourth point, clarification of some procedural issues, for example, off-campus jurisdiction when the health and safety of an individual is impacted, jurisdiction over students who are absent for reasons other than those specifically listed in the code, and specifics about notice of hearings. And she was going to prepare specific language proposals on each of those that she would have for the CJC to review.
Mm-hmm. Just with the first two, Gorge Safety and the code with the fraternities, personally both of those seem like great suggestions, but there are two separate committees already dealing with those. The Gorge Safety committees are making a recommendation October 1st that the president's then going to implement on the 29th, and there's a president's committee on pledging. So I don't know if acting on those would be shortchanging that, or if that's just redundant action going forward. But that might be people to get in contact with.
I was speculating about kidnapping or imprisonment because I was having difficulty picturing a situation where that was happening, and the only thing I could think of was it, but maybe there's something else that I don't know about. And swimming gorges, this was intended to be complimentary. I'm pretty sure that Mary Beth Grant is involved with
both
of those
things.
But the campus code of conduct, because it's a UA determined policy, this would be the committee that would have to approve those kinds of changes.
I guess my one thing is, if you could forward Mary Beth's information that she sent you to the chair of the CJC committee, and then the one on transportation to, I think, Sean, the chair of the campus infrastructure committee. Because it sounds like two things that need to be sent to the committees right away.
Which is another testament to the fact that these committees need to be staffed and they need to be meeting
mm-hmm.
ASAP.
Based on Joshua Adams' feedback, I get the sense that we would get similarly interesting issues if we went directly to the Vice President of Facility Services on Sustainability or the Vice President for Information Technology,
mm-hmm.
On those issues. So
do we want to so are you suggesting we should contact the vice presidents of those different areas?
I am. Yeah.
Okay.
No. And I would be happy just what I did for the
okay.
to do that, and I'll be the committee chairs, I guess.
Yeah.
That seems like the way to go.
Do we need a motion for that, or just all agree? Yeah, if you could do that, that'd be great. Evan?
We're done with that item?
Yeah.
I think, I know I've talked about design officers in this sense a lot. I think what could be a great idea would be a sort of standing updates from the assemblies, kind of a section on the agenda. I would be happy to give a very brief, I know time is late, a very brief update from my assembly. I don't get the sense that Natalie is planning to attend the UA regularly. Do we have any SA members here?
Aren't you an ex officio?
I'm an ex officio member of the SA.
Wouldn't want to put you in that position to attend the SA meeting.
I'll be going there and I'll be going here, so yeah.
Right. I mean, that makes a certain amount of sense. Of course, we already know about Bridget. Perfect attendance track. And Dean Fry is making it. Sounds like Howie goes to the back of the meeting.
Fortunately, this year I can. Last year we kept meeting on Wednesday at the same time. So this is very good. I don't know who arranged it, but I hope you keep it up.
And it's not by
accident.
Yeah. Like the SA, sorry.
I think that's a great idea for the next meeting to put it on the agenda
yeah.
and have it reported.
That was great. So if there's nothing else,
I move adjournment.
Move adjournment, okay. Second? Meeting adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.